Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Susan Detmer, an associate professor in the Department of Veterinary Pathology with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Detmer.
Well, thank you. Hello, Bruce.
We are once again heading into the time of year when taking precautions to ward off seasonal flu need to be considered. First of all, a little bit of background. What is seasonal flu? What are the main symptoms? And who can potentially be infected by the flu?
Well, seasonal flu or influenza is a virus that infects the upper respiratory tract. Anyone, any human can be infected by influenza A viruses. Typically, these are subtype H1N1, H1N2, and H3N2. Coincidentally, those are the same subtypes but different viruses from what we see in pigs. And just about any species there is an influenza A virus for, even bats. Flying bats have their own influenza viruses, but those are not known to infect people, just the H1N1, H1N2, and H3N2 viruses.
When do we typically see the peaks in infection and where, and what are the factors at play there?
In humans, we usually see two major peaks of influenza. The first peak starts typically in November in North America, and the second one is usually around February, March. The fall one can actually get exacerbated around Christmas time when people tend to gather in the month of December. So we'll see larger numbers of infections around that time as well. The two different peaks, oftentimes it's two different viruses that will peak in those are in the human population. We usually have a large number of variation and different strains of influenza in people each year, but there typically is two or three strains that are predominant, and so we see most people getting infected with those strains or very similar strains to those. And those are the ones we're trying to shoot for in the human vaccines to try and protect people from.
What types of patterns are emerging this year or are expected to emerge and why?
So last year we had a lot of pandemic viruses. Those were the pandemic H1N1-like viruses. They have evolved since they first appeared in people in 2009. And those have some new antigenic sites that we're more concerned about. So they actually did update the influenza vaccine this year with a Brisbane strain from the southern hemisphere so that we could try and protect ourselves from that. And that virus, since I do pig research, those viruses, that pandemic strain, I was starting to see in January through May this last spring. It was the dominant virus in pigs because they were getting it from people this winter, last winter and spring, and that carried over into the early summer. This fall already for pigs, we're seeing a lot of the alpha H1N2, especially in Manitoba and Alberta, and then a little bit of that is dominating as well in Quebec. That virus is a very classic swine influenza virus. It has picked up two deletions that make it more human-like, but it is a pig virus. And then we see a little bit of pandemic still. So I just grew 25 viruses from pigs, and only a couple of them were pandemic. So these are pandemic strains that are lingering from the last season. And then there were seven strains that were H3N2, so about a third of what I've seen in the last 2 weeks has been H3N2 in pigs. And then this alpha H1N1 was 12 of them. So that was the majority of what I've been seeing. So when pandemic clears out the playing field for these other viruses, because it tends to dominate, especially when people bring it in on farms and the animals are completely susceptible to it. It clears the playing field for these H3N2s and H1N2s that are endemic on these farms to come back with a vengeance in the fall. And so a lot of farms are seeing a lot of trouble with these strains. These are not, the H3N2 that we see in Western Canada is not one we typically will find in humans. There's two other strains that they see in the United States that have moved between people and pigs. These are not those. So we're not as concerned about those viruses moving back and forth. The CDC is looking at lower pandemic as well. What we see in pigs typically reflects what both our PHAC in Canada, Public Health Agency of Canada, and the CDC down in the United States see. We often see that mirrored in our pigs when it's a virus that can cross species. The human strains, so they want to watch out about for that pandemic because it was a very virulent strain this last spring. That's in the updated in the vaccine. They have an H3N2 in that vaccine for the one that was causing the most problems in the southern hemisphere and was starting to cause trouble in the northern hemisphere where we are late in the spring. So those are what we're more concerned about. With humans, they typically see the same pattern we see in pigs where an endemic seasonal flu virus comes back, and typically it's an H3N2 season, but we're just starting to get the data in from people, so we'll know a little better by Christmas on what to expect for the rest of the winter in people.
What are we seeing in terms of this flu season, and how would it compare with a typical year or a normal year, and why?
So for pigs, we usually start seeing late September a few samples pick up. We have, it's really quiet July and August, but come the end of September, things start to come in, but not typically until mid-October. That's when we get the colder weather. Every time we get a cold snap, we tend to see more influenza. So when we have, like just this last week, we had temperature changes from +4 down to -20. When you have that kind of drastic change, that's when the vents are all closed. They turn down the amount of air circulation to keep it warmer in these rooms where the baby pigs are hanging out. And what happens is that lower airflow, they tend to get more influenza that's already there. Also, with the cold snaps, it just gives them that added stress. So when the temperature fluctuates in the rooms where the pigs are, that adds stress. So it's an environmental stress. And with the cold, it was cold, then it was warm, and then it was cold, and then it was warm again over the last month. That's why we saw this huge surge in samples that I was receiving starting around September 23rd. And then it slowed back down around the 10th of October, but I've already received some emails. I'm expecting an uptick in samples that I'll be receiving over the next week.
What are the recommendations at this point for protecting both animals and people from the flu, and why is this protection considered so important?
So the main way to protect is to get vaccinated. The other way is to keep yourself away from other people when you have a fever. So both pigs and people have the virus shedding the most virus from their nasal passages when they also have a fever. So it peaks, both the fever and the virus growth curve peak 24 to 48 hours. After infection. So usually that's when most people are feeling really tired. They're feeling it really hit them. And that's when, if they check, they usually have at least a slight elevation, if not a full fever. And at those time points, you should try to stay away even from people in your own household if they're not protected. So if you have someone that's highly susceptible to these viruses, you should try to make sure that you cover your cough into your elbow. So most people, we were taught when we were younger to cough into our hands, but then we're putting the virus on our hands. So now they're saying to cough into your bent elbow. Or a handkerchief of some sort. Make sure you're washing your hands. You don't necessarily have to use a disinfectant on your hands. Just using good old-fashioned soap and water will get those viruses, because it's a very susceptible virus to normal cleaning. So just wiping off surfaces, and just being conscientious, because you may already be infected and not know it yet, and you want to protect everyone around you, because that's the way most of the vaccine works. Only 20 to 25% of us get vaccinated each year, and it's the lowest vaccine that we see as far as uptake for people. The benefit of getting vaccinated is, even if it only partially protects you, you'll get recovery much faster. So when I've been infected with influenza viruses, this is the typical story, is if I have a good vaccine protection, I may not even know I'm infected. I may only be sick for 2 days, and then I'm also not shedding virus. Within 3 to 5 days, I'm done shedding virus and I'm not infecting the people around me. Whereas if you're not vaccinated, you can shed virus up to a week in large amounts, and everyone around you, you're feeling better, but everyone around you is being exposed to that virus.
How many different types of vaccines are available? How do they vary in terms of their availability, their use, and their effectiveness, and why?
So for human vaccines, most people just get the killed virus vaccines. These are grown in eggs, and they're the most readily available. There are some intranasal vaccines, and there are some limitations on the age of the people that can receive those, because they're modified live. Those also have very good efficacy. So those are the two things available. Most people, if you're going to a pharmacy and you're getting a vaccine, you're going to get the injectable vaccine. Those are the ones that our provincial healthcare is going to cover. So you go in with your health card at the pharmacy and you can get vaccinated right then and there. Maybe have to wait total of 15 minutes at most pharmacies, and you can get it done. The efficacy of it will not kick in. It takes at least 2 weeks for the antibodies to be produced and 4 weeks for the full antibody protection. So right now is the best time. The vaccine, there was a delay because they were waiting to update one of the viruses in the vaccine. So there was a delay this fall, but now the vaccines are available in pharmacies and at doctor's offices. As far as pigs go, we have commercial vaccines, but these are based on U.S. strains. So for in Canada, what we're often doing is autogenous vaccines, which are vaccines you purchase from a special vaccine manufacturer who you get CFIA permission to produce a vaccine for that farm using a strain. So the 25 viruses I recently isolated, most of those are going to be going to these vaccine manufacturers, and they're going to produce an autogenous vaccine for those farms. And with those, it's an exact match to what's on the farm, so we actually get a lot more efficacy.
How safe are vaccines, actually?
For both pigs and people, there are very few reactions. The ones that are produced in eggs, these killed virus vaccines, if you're allergic to eggs, you will have to get the other vaccine. The other issues, if you have immune-suppressing disease, bone cancers, and bone marrow cancers. Those are the people that need you to get vaccinated because they cannot get vaccinated. That is something they have to discuss with their doctor, and the doctor will recommend what vaccines they should and should not get. But just like whooping cough in children, it's something you do to protect the small children that cannot be vaccinated.
How can anyone interested get more information?
There are a lot of excellent websites. The CDC has a really good website that can you could have a lot of frequently asked questions are answered on that website, and it is geared towards people that may just want to find out more information about what viruses are circulating, what the vaccine is like this year, and they even, for people that are more interested in learning more about influenza, you can pull up the charts that say what viruses they're actually finding, and they show graphs of week by week of what is circulating in the human population. And in general, what we see in Canada is the same as what's in the U.S. because of air travel and people movements. It's fairly similar between the two. So that would be the best spot for information. If you work with pigs, you should certainly look at both the American Association of Swine Vets has position statements on influenza on farms and farm workers, as well as the Pork Board has some information as well with some informational sheets.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Please wash your hands and get vaccinated if you can. That's the one thing I ask of people this time of year. If you work with pigs, please get vaccinated. Please don't. And if you don't get vaccinated, or if you do get vaccinated, please don't go on a farm when you have a fever, because those pigs are highly susceptible, and we really don't want them to get sick.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Our guest has been Dr. Susan Dettmer, an associate professor in the Department of Veterinary Pathology with the Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.